a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:27 p.m. Central Daylight Time. How you feeling, Chief? We hit daylight savings time yet again. Back around. Your digital audio device is tuned to the Orange and True podcast, powered by the friendly folks there at collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations to the Orange and Truthers out there. It is I, Santa Crow. Two on Twitter, Drew Croson, at Santa Crow is where you find me on Venmo. If you need my Zelle, hit me up in the DMs. To one side of me, via the magic of the internet, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for St. Joe's. Are St. Joe's in the tournament this year? You picking up to go all the way?
I have no idea. I'm actually going to do my bracket right now, and I might ask you some questions as we go.
They're not in the tournament this year.
No.
That was a trick question. Ryan.
I told you, I'm doing it now.
Also, via the magic of Skype, give you the full Fort Payne ASMR you pay good money for in his reading room, the AU Chief.
How are you now?
It's good to see you, Chief. Always a pleasure. And also joining us in the podcast Free For All hotline, it is James Jones. At AU Jonesy, right?
No, it is James Jones underscore 55, and I am the world's biggest Iona Gales fan.
Why did I think you were at AU Jonesy?
That is my login for and screen name on SB Nation.
Okay, gotcha. For the website of which we are all a part of.
Yes, that is what it shows up as when I write so many articles that I do.
Right. So, this week on the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about, hopefully, how the Iona Gales get them a massive upset with moral, upstanding human Rick Pitino as their head coach, a guy we can all root for, a guy we can all stand behind, as long as we're not in the bathroom of an Italian restaurant. And we're also going to talk a little spring football practice. We might talk a little bit of Auburn hoops news. Actually, but first, there is Auburn soccer news to discuss on this podcast, gentlemen. James, have you been watching any of these games? Are these games on ESPN Plus?
I have been following on Twitter. I don't believe I have watched one.
Yeah, that's where
I forgot they were. I thought it was the spring season and just, you know, it was the regular old spring season. Right. And no, these games count.
That's why it wasn't until like a couple weeks ago on this podcast – yep. We discovered on the air that these are real games that are happening. Speaking of which, Auburn lost on the 6th to the hated Clemson Tigers. 1-0. But Karen Hoppe's team secured her some crazy number of victories. Like 600 wins or something.
I believe it was 250.
250, okay. Yeah.
Bruce is 600.
That's right. Bruce is 600. I thought that was crazy because soccer doesn't play nearly like half the games of basketball. Okay, so Karen Hoppe gets her 250th win. Auburn lost on the 6th to Clemson, but turned around and beat the Georgia Bulldogs 1-0 in Auburn. And there's nothing quite like beating the Georgia Bulldogs. On Saturday, Auburn goes to Louisville, Kentucky, to face the Cardinals. And then on the 27th, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, is the Iron Bowl of Soccer. Now, I can't tell if these games are on television. I know ESPN Plus has been showing some soccer, including my new best friends, the SMU men's soccer team that I watch a lot of. But I don't see that this game coming up is on SEC Network. I know the LSU game, it says, was on SEC Network Plus. But we'll see. Maybe the game will be on TV. Maybe not. If not, you can follow on Twitter. So Auburn is currently – they're 2-1-1. There it is, 2-1-1 in this spring season, which does count. because the NCAA tournament is looming on April 23rd. They got to finish this season out before April 23rd, and Auburn has four more games. So we'll see them. We'll see if they do it.
How do we feel about UC Santa Barbara over Creighton 12-5 matchup?
Banana slugs?
Gauchos.
The Gauchos, that's right, the Gauchos.
Yeah, UCSB is number 69 in KenPom, so I think I'm going to go with them pretty good ways.
I think one of the good things, one of the things Ryan doesn't remember is that in the early days of the Facebook.com, UC Santa Barbara was among a group of friends that I was adjacent to at Auburn, the school to start like following people from or friending random girls from UC Santa Barbara because they were really
pretty. Okay, there you go.
So that was – it was only college students back then, and so you could like search colleges for, I don't know, blondes who went to UC Santa Barbara.
Well, I mean, that is the original intent of the app, right?
Right.
For more or less.
And now it's controlling world governments and who knows. And making people not want to get a vaccine. It's hilarious how far it's gone. All right. Let's see. Well, Auburn plays Kentucky next in soccer. Kentucky, home state of one Justin Powell, who has chosen to turn coat on the beloved Auburn Tigers basketball team and left the program after one injury-shortened season in which he showed flashes of brilliance that included one Son of Pro writing an article comparing him to Klay Thompson. I mean, he's got shooting guard as well.
He's got I mean, that wasn't crazy. He's got NBA size and NBA skill set. So, I mean, really, really stinks that we're losing that. Now, we're likely to fill his position with someone with more experience and, I mean, maybe just as much current skill. So it's not devastating. It's devastating for those of us that we're still holding out a small sliver of hope that we'd get to see him and Sharif on the floor together and see the team that we had this year, a year older and with, you know, fully together, fully healthy, playing together, playing for something. And just the season was not even the dead body of our season was not even culled yet. And he decided to skip out the door right after we recorded the pod last week.
Yeah, I'm only like
literally minutes after, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm not that bummed, to be 100% honest, because he didn't play for most of conference play. So it wasn't like he was the best player on the team or something like that. But I will be bummed if he transfers to the University of Kentucky.
I really think that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
And based on before I get into conspiracy theories, there's a lot of those out there. There's a lot of people that had some conspiracy theories going on about him during the season. My personal theory, and I mean, it's not really hard to think that. And it's based on a lot some of the things Bruce was saying, looking back on some of those things. I think he just had a kid that was unhappy and he's here. He's far away from home. That can make people unhappy. We've got COVID going on, so you're not really doing the normal college things. You're not congregating, hanging out with your friends. He does have his teammates there for a while. Until he gets hurt, then he no longer has his teammates. He's not practicing. He's not playing. He's not hanging around his teammates. He's all by himself. A lot of the time was spent in dark rooms. So it'd be really easy to see how that could make someone extremely unhappy.
Sure.
And there's – I mean, just looking at what Bruce said, he wasn't going to class because he couldn't. Because of the head injury. And the other things, like Bruce, really, every time he talked about him, when you look back on it in hindsight, it feels like he's recruiting someone to stay. And I just think it's a case of a kid that was unhappy, and he's made a decision. He's just going to move on. maybe move back closer to home. And that might be Kentucky. He actually lives a little closer to Louisville, I think. Maybe it's Western Kentucky. I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't even hate Louisville. If he goes to Kentucky, I'll be pretty upset, because it'll be hard for me to believe that there weren't other things going on behind the scenes that also led to that. And I just, I'll be pretty upset about it.
I mean, I wonder, I don't want to say, like, I wonder if it's one of those things where it's a kid who got a concussion. And a lot of times you hear about this where someone, a player thinks they can come back from a concussion faster than the training staff and the coaching staff.
Yeah.
If he keeps not passing Auburn's version of the concussion protocols.
Right.
Maybe he gets fed up with it. He's like, I'm going to go somewhere else to let me play. These guys aren't interested in me playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's also a pretty plausible theory, I think, as well. That's not, doesn't get too out in the weeds conspiracy. That's just be really easy to see that that happened, or could happen. You know, more power to him. Auburn will be okay without him. I hope he's okay without Auburn. It's a bummer. He's a good player. Solid player. His position was going, he was going to have pretty hefty, competition.
That's
his position.
The main thing.
I've seen people say, "Oh, well, he must know so and so is coming back or whatever." I don't really. The timing of the decision doesn't scream personnel to me. I think he made this decision before the season was over, because just when he announced it what, 3 days after we played our last game.
Sure.
So. You know, I kind of think Bruce knew this was coming. They tried to get him back with the team. They had him on the bench for a few games. You know, it happens. People transfer. This is not the guy we thought was going to transfer, but we expected transfers. So just buckle up. We'll probably have one or two more.
Yeah. If you hear any other weird noises, it's because I'm holding a 3-month-old.
Oh, I enjoy him joining in on the pod. It's good stuff.
Good commentary.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the way you have to look at it is, you know, it sucks that he's leaving selfishly. I think he would have been a big part of a really good team next year. But luckily, with the way this roster is constructed, it doesn't fall apart without him. And I think you can balance both of those opinions Twitter, being so great at nuance, has not done that.
Sure.
He transfers to Kentucky, you're allowed to hate him.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'll hate him. Absolutely. I hate everybody that plays for Kentucky.
Or Duke. Honestly, he Duke. Would be the player at Duke that you could really root against.
Oh, yeah, the one?
The one? Really?
But you could just really not like for no reason.
I've never met a player that played for Duke that I really liked, so...
I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein played for Kentucky. I love Willie Cauley-Stein, so I have a hard time.
I don't actually always hate Duke players.
Could rattle off a top
Parker. List.
Oh, man. The Duke hate is for real. I don't like anybody that plays for Duke. Kentucky, there are guys that I actually like Willie Cauley-Stein and Julius Randle that I've actually liked. But
DeMarcus Cousins.
Dude, yeah, Boogie. And then, I mean, I love Anthony Davis in college.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is a likable guy.
Yeah.
One and done's to get a ring.
It's all big men that we're naming, by the way. We haven't named a single Kentucky guard, which is telling.
I enjoy John Wall.
Yeah. The one and done's are different, too, because it's like, well, he played for Kentucky, but like for a couple of weeks. It's not like he played. Yeah. He wasn't a senior for Kentucky.
You went to class long enough to qualify to play the second semester. Right. That is it.
You know what Kentucky player I hated more than anyone? Any Kentucky player? Saul Smith.
Yeah, obviously. I knew that was coming. I knew it had to be Saul.
God, he was the worst. He had no business starting for that team and did anyway.
I thought you were going to say Kirk Heinrich. I remembered he went to Kansas. So, another shooting guard since we're on the Justin Powell train. Auburn is adding a guy named Trey Alexander that I got. Mm. I actually went Crow Looks at Kroots segment. I went and looked a little bit tape. watched the highlights and actually some segments of his state championship game that his team just lost. Now, an announcer didn't use a racial slur before his, but they did for the women's. So, you know,
Oklahoma. Oh, it was in that tournament?
I don't know, but it was Oklahoma state championships of basketball. Okay. So,
yeah, just the girls' side.
Having a real one up there in Oklahoma. So he played lights out in the first half of his state championship. But then the second half, the team they're playing against basically ran they had three guys that are all going to go D1. None of them were as highly touted as Trey Alexander. And they ran all three of them at him at the same time defensively. And he kind of got shut down. I don't even know if he had a good shot attempt in the second half. But I'm not that worried about it because that's a team that's got three Division I athletes on a high school team, and his team has basically just him. So I'm not that worried about it.
So was it kind of like watching Auburn with Sharif this year?
A little bit.
Of everybody just swarm Sharif and make somebody else beat you?
A little bit. Except Trey doesn't – he isn't obviously the passer that Sharif is. Sharif is like –
Well, sure. Yeah, not Strange. The one-to-one player comparison, but similar strategy, I guess, of just taking one guy out of the game.
The guy that Trey Alexander reminds me a lot of, and I've said this like about three different Auburn players, so I kind of probably need to watch more NBA, which is almost impossible. But I think he reminds me a little bit of a skinnier early Dwayne Wade. And I say that because he's not a small dude, but he's kind of scrawny. He's super athletic, and he's gunning for his own shot most of the time. If he has the ball in his hand, he's looking to shoot the rock.
So is he more than just a three-point shooter then?
I would say he's like three-point game is like tertiary. He's a decent enough ball handler. He can attack the basket. He has really good vision in terms of moving without the basketball, not necessarily like dribbling the ball vision, but like moving without the ball when he doesn't have the ball, how to get open and get the ball and then make a layup. And he's a good three-point shooter. So, yeah, I mean, he is a complete shooting guard. This is not a guy who's just going to go out there and catch and shoot. He's a guy who can play three levels, which is a cliche in basketball now, but he's a three-level player.
Can be the Wade to Jabari's LeBron.
Man, like, that's the freshman coming
that's
in
next
year.
That's not fair, is it? I shouldn't be putting
No,
that
you shouldn't
already.
Compare a
anyone to LeBron.
Incoming freshman to the best player in this generation.
I mean, Jabari's more of a Kevin Durant anyway.
Yeah, man, Jabari is a really hammered down three-point shooter too. Like,
guys, we're going to have 2 6'10" guards on the floor together next year.
Yeah.
The Jabari Thor lineup is so not Auburn basketball.
Bonkers.
Is it possible that our five is the third tallest person on the court?
Yes. Sure.
Sure. Absolutely.
Because in a stretch, he's 6'8". I mean, yeah. I think Jalen's 6'8 or 6'9".
It's also possible that, like, we will have four guys on the court at once that are taller than anybody Jeff Lebo had play for Auburn.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, it's wild to see our team be this tall. I mean, this year is maybe the tallest team we've ever had. I
pretty close. I mean, they were, I think, top eight in the nation this year.
Yeah. And we went from having one of the shortest teams. I mean, when Bruce took the team over, we were one of the shortest teams in the country. It was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it was strange because that was my baseline for a college basketball team was, you know, Barbie's last team and Bruce's first couple years where your five might be 6'7".
Yeah.
And also sometimes running the point because he's Simeon. but... Yeah,
it took up a lot of space, though.
Not always in the height dimension.
Exactly.
So this past team and then going forward is it kind of blows my mind with the length they're going to have. I mean, even the Final Four team wasn't a big team. You got Austin Wiley, who he was a dominant big man as far as just size goes, but
right.
Jared was undersized. Bryce was average at best. I mean, even, you know, Malik and DeSean Murray weren't big threes.
How big is Trey Alexander?
It's like 6'4", isn't he? Okay.
So about the same height as Bryce.
He's a little bit bigger. Let me take a look.
He looks bigger on film, but I think that's because he's playing against high school students.
Yeah, probably.
Yep, 6'4", 190.
Yeah.
So okay. I looked it up. I had to look it up, Crow, because I remembered somebody that would have been tall under Jeff Lebo. Boubacar Sylla.
Boubacar, right. Baby.
Boubacar.
Horror character.
Ryan, a long time ago, Auburn would sign no star players, and fans would get excited. Boubacar did not have a star rating, but he was 7'3" or some nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah, 7'2".
From like, so was this Senegal. Like
the predecessor of Trayvon Reed?
He was the successor to Kyle Davis, is what he was supposed to be.
He was like 7'2", had only played basketball for a couple of years, was coming over from Africa, did not speak English.
And this was, and really, so Auburn fans get excited because, oh, this is like Mamadou Njie, who was a similar situation. Mamadou moved here, like, we brought him over from Senegal. And he had played soccer most of his life, barely knew how to dribble a basketball, and was not good when he first got here, but was great by the time, you know, he left. But, so Auburn fans were like conditioned to think, oh, this guy's going to be just like Mamadou.
Diamond in the rough. And he ended up.
Yeah.
He played.
He was the rough.
Three
games.
I think he played 0 minutes his first year and played 3 games his second year and then transferred.
By the way, Bryce Brown is a high school recruit, 6'2", 173. Okay, so a little bit smaller than Trey.
I thought Bryce had grown a little bit while he was in school.
Yeah, but so if Trey grows a couple, you know, an inch or two at Auburn, that's pretty solid NBA 2 size, right?
Yeah. And
6'6"? Oh, yeah.
The interesting thing would be if Sharif comes back having a very undersized, for the NBA, pretty normal for college backcourt, and then the front court of being just trees.
Just a giant.
Like, having Alan Flanagan be, like, decidedly small for your front court.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited the most also about, like, I don't know about you guys. Y'all saw some games in person. Was it hot in Auburn Arena this year?
No.
I figured it would be a lot hotter considering there weren't as many fans.
It was,
I'm not tracking the reasoning there, Crow.
It was a joke. It was a really bad joke.
Okay.
Fans keep you cool, Ryan.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I was thinking along the lines of no body heat in the building. So.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Ryan and I both
That's the engineer mind there.
Right.
Yeah. The one thing I'll miss about the pandemic is the leg room. The one thing I won't miss is not being able to actually go to the games. So.
Right. One game I went to, leg room was great.
Yeah, dude, it was like we were in a private booth. It was so awesome. And basically football was the same way. But, I will not miss that. And the traffic, also great for both. But, again, it's better to have people back.
Yeah. I'd be amazed at what a Sharif Cooper in a full Auburn Arena with a jungle.
Oh, man.
Because he's a guy who plays off of it.
To Devin Cambridge.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. See, to me, it's the first time Dylan Cardwell takes a charge in front of the jungle. That's what I'm
like, I think that Thor had a dunk this year where he took like one dribble from the 3-point line.
My God.
That I think like legitimately, and it was right in front of where the jungle would have been.
I would have blacked out. I literally would have blacked out.
People would have lost their minds. I think he would have been scared with that amount of noise hitting him at once.
The steal and Euro step that he pulled against Kentucky.
My God. The place would have, exploded.
It's interesting to think about how many wins is the arena worth a year? And so, therefore, how many wins did we lose this year that we would have won?
At least three wins. At least.
Yeah. I would say any game. I'd say it's worth Auburn somewhere wins between the first 5 to 10 points.
Okay. Auburn wins points, the first Bama game.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, you guys gamble more than I do. I think
Auburn beats Ole Miss. Auburn probably beats Georgia. Yeah. So those three or four games.
Yeah. Man, it's a whole different season with four more wins.
Yeah.
We're looking at missing out on being a 6 seed or 7 seed.
Yeah, yeah. We're still sitting here not playing. But, hey, neither is Kentucky. Kentucky is not in the tournament. Duke.
Neither is
not
Duke. The tournament.
Are they going to accept NIT bids?
Just sitting around
is
here.
Is there an NIT tournament this year?
Duke has already said their season is done.
Yeah.
They're not playing anymore.
Just us blue bloods sitting here on the sidelines, that's all. Just taking a year off.
It's true.
Another year off.
Yeah. Cue that gif of have y'all seen that gif of Coach K collapsing from like the '90s when he had the back problem? It's hysterical. Like he's just standing up and he just like lies down on the ground.
Is it like watching the Georgia coaches?
Yeah, but like in slow motion.
Yeah.
They were getting to be like 30. He was like, I'm out of here. That hurts.
He can't coach much longer, right?
It depends. Does he have a team or not? If he's got a team, he's just fine. If he doesn't have a team, his back starts hurting again.
Yeah, that's true.
Who retires first? Is it Coach K or Roy or Bohan?
K.
Boeheim might. Yeah.
I think it's Boeheim. I think Boeheim's close to done.
No, yeah. Boeheim got hired by them in 1978, something like that. Like
that's pretty much like Coach any K, of us right?
were alive.
But that is so old. Like he's been coaching for so long. At the same,
thanks for the clarification, James. I wasn't sure. So,
like that is to some extent kind of a Joe Paterno level of continuity at one school.
Oh, easy there.
But like, and I think you wouldn't see that happen again in college.
No,
like I can't fathom a coach. I mean, Lord willing, Bruce will be here for that long. But he'll be 100.
I want Bruce to coach here till he's 88.
I want Brian Harsin to as well, because that means we've done something just unreal.
It's true.
Yeah, I think it's something you still see in baseball. And that's one of the few college – I mean, some of the smaller college sports, you'll see it, where there's not as much revenue. So there's not – you know, if you miss the tournament 1 year, they're not ready to throw you out on your butt.
Yeah. Well,
you know, Hal Baird was in Auburn for – he started – he coached Bo and left Auburn when freshman year, Chief?
Yep.
Yeah. So, what's the guy at Texas? Augie was there for like a billion years.
Mike Martin was at Florida State for decades.
I think you'll still see guys.
All going to make Drew Mack so proud.
Yeah.
I think you'll still see guys like be there pretty long, not that long. I just don't think that you can. The way it is, I think 10 years coaching at a high level is like 40 years of life now. The way recruiting is. The way everything is, it's going to take too much out of you, but you'll still see guys stay places like 20 years. Like Self will be at Kansas 20 years probably before he's done. And it's probably close
unless
now.
The NCAA decides otherwise.
Right, exactly. Roy will be at UNC, which is hell coming up on 20 years now, right?
Yeah, I think 18 right now.
So you'll still see that kind of thing. If a blue blood finds a coach that's good and they don't get burnt out, I think they'll stay there for forever. But otherwise,
I think Mark Few may end up at Gonzaga for a really long time. I don't know if he has any intention of leaving there.
Right.
If he didn't leave 10 years ago, I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly.
Put it this way. Since 1968, the University of Texas has had 3 head baseball coaches.
Wow. It's crazy.
And the last,
so I'm looking.
It's nuts.
I'm looking at the longest tenured college basketball coaches right now. So, I mean, Boeheim and Coach K are 1 and 2. Can y'all name any of the next couple guys on the list?
I mean,
longest tenure.
Bill Self has been there for a while, and
he's been there at least his 18, same as Roy.
And Roy's been there for a while.
See.
Yeah, they hired Self when Roy left for UNC.
So number three is Greg Camp at Oakland. Four is Rick Bird at Belmont. And five is Bob McKillop at Davidson. All those guys.
I was going to say, is Bob McKillop still at Davidson? Yeah.
Izzo is T7 at 23 years, Michigan State. And by any chance, anybody know the name of the Yale head coach?
Nope.
No.
James Jones.
Oh. No, really.
Been there 19 years.
James is moonlighting, coaching the Bulldogs.
Was one of the Walton kids play at Yale, or was it Princeton or Harvard? One of them played at one of the Ivy League
like
schools.
Like Bill Walton?
No, not Bill. One of his kids. And not Luke. Luke played at
Arizona.
I don't know. That's basically an Ivy League, right?
Ivy League of partying, buddy.
It's the Ivy League. It's the Harvard of the Grand Canyon State.
Phil Martelli at St. Joe's for 23 years. We'll throw back to the beginning of the episode.
I think that's a – I guess the Blue Bloods, if they get their coach, they'll be there as long as they don't get burnt out.
So Bruce will be here for a while.
Mid-majors that make the tournaments.
Exactly.
2 out of 3 years.
Yeah.
Yes. The Belmonts, those kind of teams, the teams that are basically winning their conference every year or one out of every 3 years, those guys will also be there forever. Everybody else is either – trying to get to a different level or the coaches are trying to get to a different
level. Right. I think you're right. That's absolutely right. I think, and I also think that's different than college football. I think the interesting thing about basketball is there are a lot of fan bases that are a little more rational in their thought process, where it's like, if we're just competing for regular season conference titles, that's all we can control. That's good.
Whereas I mean, you got a lot of people like Auburn who put up what we put up with Barbie for 6 seasons.
Yeah,
like, come on.
There's a lot more.
I will
Kansas
say this
football.
List is 3 years out of date, so I may have a couple of numbers or names wrong there.
There's a lot more Kansas football in basketball than there is.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Auburn basketball. Do we want to talk about Kansas football? Or?
Yeah, you know what? It's a good day to not be a Kansas Jayhawks football fan today, and a good day to not be a Texas Longhorns sporting events fan today.
I'm very worried for Jonathan Wallace. I know he'll land on his feet. He's a smart guy, but you know, being a position coach when your head coach, your offensive coordinator who brought you in, has already left and signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Jeepers creepers.
And he's left a P5 job to go to a G5 job.
For another coach that was under investigation.
That's true. And then your head coach is fired, and it's obvious that the AD gets fired. So it's obvious.
Has he been fired yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's gone.
I know it's middle
a situation where
he was not Jeff Long for that job.
Oh!
I don't envy his situation. The nice thing is you can just kind of you get the kids through spring practice. You work with your players. You make sure that that you still focus on the important part, and you get paid and know that that's going to help you down the line.
Yeah,
maybe Mama calls him home as an on field analyst in some position.
I figure he might end up at UCF more than Auburn.
Oh,
I don't know that Brian Harsin's too sentimental.
Auburn South there at UCF.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That is the band back together. I think it's gonna look more like Blues Brothers 2000 than Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
I had some friends that love Blues Brothers 2000, man.
It was one of those things where I watched it as a kid and loved it because I was a kid and all movies were good, and then was like, and because my dad loved Blues Brothers, like, oh, this is my Blues Brothers,
right.
And then I was like in college and watched the original, like, and I was like, wait a minute, no, this one's super good. The other one's
John Goodman. John Goodman is not John Belushi.
No, and I love John Goodman.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, sure.
See, I haven't seen this. I have seen the original, but I have not seen the 2000 version.
Hey,
Ryan. So I'm just assuming this is a prequel to 2001 Space Odyssey.
Man, that would be awesome.
But but with Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers 2001, a Space Odyssey.
Do you know who directed Blues Brothers?
I do not.
Harold Ramis, right?
Nope.
Oh.
Well, John Landis directed the first one.
Yeah, that's right.
John Landis. Harold Ramis was Animal House.
Yeah, Harold Ramis also has a great role in the movie Orange County.
Mm-hmm. Harold Ramis.
John Landis was the original Blues Brothers coming to America, and he did Trading Places, right?
Yeah.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Yeah. Also, apparently, kind of a kind of a terrible person.
Yeah. Hollywood. It's circus people.
Yeah. Wait a minute. It's Hollywood. You don't have to add that.
True.
They're circus people. So
terrible.
Guys, let's take a quick break. And we come back, we'll talk a little bit of Auburn football. And we're back. 35 minutes and 59 seconds into this podcast. Some might just call it 36, but we are exact here on the Orange and True podcast. We wanted to talk a little bit about potential incoming transfers, but you guys should just go ahead and read Justin Ferguson's piece about that, because he will do a better job than we can.
Yeah, way better. Or even better, subscribe to his the Auburn Observer and just listen to the pod. He and Painter go over it better than we ever could.
I think.
Are we trying to position ourselves as like a feeder system? To the Observer.
We're the Frisco Rough Riders to their Texas Rangers.
Yeah. There we go.
We're a FC Barcelona B.
Yeah, we are the RB Salzburg to their RB Leipzig.
Yeah. At least it could be worse. We could be RB New York, I guess.
We could be the NYFC to the Manchester City.
That's true.
Yeah. which is where they send the players to basically die.
We could be the Real Salt Lake to their Real Madrid.
No affiliation whatsoever.
Actually, that may be accurate.
Yeah, it's true. We at least have met those guys.
Where are they?
All right, so we're not going to talk about that. Instead, we are going to talk a little Auburn football. Guys, are you going to A-Day? Those of you who live in Alabama.
Are we allowed to?
I think so.
They haven't said yet.
It's not Masters weekend, so I'm not opposed to it.
I might go. I'd previously sworn off A-Day, but I might.
This is the only A-Day game that I actually ever am interested in. His new coach A-Day game.
Yeah. New coach A-Day game is the best.
Cam Newton. The best new coach A-Day game was Chiz's, because it was just so wild. That 09 yeah. A-Day.
Well, and then Gus's was a lot of fun too, because that coincided with the last roll. So it was packed out.
That's right.
Remember when we didn't hold Turner's Corner anymore?
That was my senior year of high school. By the way,
Sheepers creepers.
Ryan, you obviously won't remember this. There was the reason Chizik's first A-Day was great was because they actually did things.
Yeah.
One of Tuberville's A-Days, I remember this. We actually got into the stadium a little bit late and had missed the first drive, and whichever team got the ball first went down and kicked a field goal. The game ended 3-0.
Oh.
It was so bad.
Was it Chizik?
That's the best way I can describe Tuberville.
Chizik's A-Day games were like inventing rules and scoring systems. How is it 56-83? What is this scoring?
The rules are made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah. Like, all of a sudden you're like, how did they just get 5 points? The ball's in the middle of the field. Yeah. The Chizik A-Day games were fun. The Chizik first one was fun too, because you had just come off Tubbs, and all of a sudden, like, the Gus Malzahn offense, which could not have been more different from the offense that Auburn was running at the end of that 08 season, which was archaic in 08.
Had Chris Todd won the job yet by A-Day?
No.
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 He didn't get it until August.
Yeah, because August was like the big emotional Cody Burns speaking in front of the team. That's the moment in which Cody Burns became a lot of Auburn fans' favorite player at the time, because he was like an Auburn man. The word Auburn man was used way too much in 2009.
Well, was it a God thing?
It may have been a God thing.
Okay.
You know, the idea, as a person of faith, the concept that some things are God things and others are not God things is baffling. If anything is a God thing, it's all a God thing. That's how God would be.
But what about football, especially in the SEC, where it just means more?
Sure.
So I want to defend Gene Chizik here. That was a thing Bama fans really loved to be mad about, was that. I'm with him. It was just to be there and experience that moment was a God thing.
Sure.
But like Crow said, everything's a God thing. Some God things are better than others.
As Kanye would say, it's a God dream.
Yeah, there we go.
We're on the ultralight beam.
That's how I took it to mean. I don't think Gene Chizik thought God helped us win this football game.
Yeah, sure.
Made them lose it.
It's more of like, I am blessed to be in this moment.
Right.
Which is a cool way of saying that I have attitude of gratitude. Huge. That's a big point of my life. But it's a hokey phrase. And I think what Bama fans make fun of Auburn is they think that Auburn puts forth a fake folksiness that Auburn fans love, that coaches kind of – they get here and they're like told by some press coaching agency, hey,
play up the folksiness. I really hope Dabo was the next Alabama coach.
Gene Chizik is just a hokey dude, dog. I mean, I'm
very pro Chiz. I love
him. Me too. This is
the most pro Chiz Auburn podcast, I think.
Yes, I think so. Love me speaking.
I think
this is the most Auburn head coach since Dye.
Remember, I'm the guy who tweeted once #. They wish we should have never fired Chiz.
Well, you know, it's good that Brian Van Gorder is then back in the state to pull some RSA retirement.
Years
at
him. Yeah,
I missed this. Where is he now?
Brian Van Gorder is now the defensive coordinator at Gulf Shores, Alabama High School. Is that it? He's not the head coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he's the defensive coordinator. You know who the head coach is? Is Mark Hudspeth.
Is it Scott Leffler?
No way.
No, Mark Hudspeth, who was, if Mississippi State, I mean, the two guys Mississippi State was down to between after they fired Sylvester Croom were Dan Mullen and Mark Hudspeth.
Yep.
Dan Mullen is now the coach of Florida. Yeah, and Mark Hudspeth is the head coach at Gulf Shores High School, which, I mean, you know, one of those is on the beach and the other one is in the middle of a swamp. So who's really winning there?
Wow.
It's true. One's probably way less stressful, too.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You're having to pay people a lot less to come play for you?
do you know the one college football job Brian Van Gorder held for more than 2 years?
Notre Dame?
Georgia defensive coordinator.
Yep. and that was 2001 to 2004. Since then, 1 year as the Jacksonville Jaguars linebacker coach, 1 year as Georgia Southern head coach, 1 year as the Falcons linebacker coach, 4 years as the Falcons DC. You know, I'm sure that went fantastic.
One year
as the Auburn defensive coordinator, 1 year as the Jets linebackers coach, 1 year as the Notre Dame defensive coordinator. 2 years as coordinator there. 1 year as a defensive assistant at Georgia, just as defensive assistant at Oklahoma State. 1 year at Louisville, 2 years at Bowling Green, and now he's at Gulf Shores.
Amazing.
I'm sad he's gone from Bowling Green, because that was my auto bet every time. It does not matter how many points Bowling Green is laying. The only time in the last 2 years that has let me down was Toledo committed like eight or nine penalties inside their own 20, had two turnovers and blocked a punt and fumbled the ball on Bowling Green's 1 yard line.
Unbelievable.
It took all of that for Toledo to lose that game.
We should have James on more often to just do Mac betting tips.
Yeah.
I do have a brand. That is the one article I write. It's either that or reliving a football game, an Auburn football game that happened at least 25 years ago.
Do you think you could seriously? We're doing a little on-air producing, as we are known to do. Would you be willing to cut us a Mac, a Maction, tip every week?
Just really no. Here's what I want. I want four games you haven't thought of that you should bet each week. And we'll have Jack put the music from the movie The Sting underneath it.
Yes!
So that everyone's like, oh, this is hot gambling tips.
So the hilarious part about that, y'all know how I got started writing for College and Mag, right?
Tell us.
I started writing fan posts where I picked four games, just random four games every week. Perfect. As like, these are the three. Because to take this to where I actually go with it, I used to do a pool, and we didn't do it this past year because there were too many weird things going on, but we did a pool where you pick four games every week, one of which is your best bet. The trick to it is you get X amount of points as to however many points each team beats the spread by. Wow. So if the spread is 7 and the team you picked wins by 10, you get 3 points. On your best bet, it doubles, so you would get 6. There's a lot of different strategies to it. I won't go into all of that. I just remember, I can tell you the one game that threw the wildest scores in the league that ever happened. It was when Florida State was a mild favorite on the road at Louisville, and a young quarterback named Lamar Jackson went off for 60 plus points on the Seminoles. And this would have been, I think, 2015. So this was like,
I think it was 2016.
What is it, 2016? So
yeah.
It was Lamar's maybe 15th or 16th start.
Yeah.
And this was Florida State 2 years after, 3 years after a title and 2 years after being in the playoff. And of course, they won that game by something like 50 points.
So, and they let up for most of the second half too.
Right. So, long story short, I turned that into a fan post article that I was doing every week because I was like, well, I'm picking these games anyway. I might as well throw this, just kind of work on writing. And then eventually, I talked Walt into letting me write a little bit for the site, and there I am.
So surely, though, this is all hypothetical. We're not actually putting real money on it because we live in the state of Alabama where that's not legal.
Yeah, of course not. This is all for entertainment purposes only.
I'm not sure about how Texas is these days.
Once I relocate to my new abode, I will be able to make a short 30-minute drive and gamble legally.
Run up to Ardmore, once a week.
Hey, yep, the great state of Texas is trying to they might be voting against daylight savings time.
Oh, against daylight savings time.
So basically, that's it. No, we're going to spring forward and we're never falling back again.
Okay. All right. Okay. Voting for staying on daylight savings time.
Gotcha. Like Arizona, basically.
Yeah. That's.
I think Hawaii is also that way.
Look, I don't know how you split the country up. Maybe right down the middle. I don't really know, and have it work right. Although that would screw Texas over because it'd be half the country. But
I really would hate that.
Well, I mean, there is a portion of Texas that's on mountain time, so
yeah,
that would work out.
Only if they choose to be. Most of the state stays central, which is very weird.
Well, I think it's kind of silly for everybody in Eastern to spring forward and stay there. They should just stay on Eastern Standard because it's basically what daylight savings time is for us.
Right.
Already for them. So, like, daylight savings time in Atlanta, it's like 9 o'clock and it's still light outside.
That was great for playing outside in the summer.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
I mean, we don't need the four time zones, is all I'm saying.
We got one time zone.
The way China does it, just one time zone, whole country.
Yeah. That would
pretty much
be cool, but That would suck for people in LA, I'd have to say.
The opinions that we should be more like China is only Ryan Starrett's and not reflect the Auburn.
He may be receiving a portion of his income may come from dealings with China. So you do the math.
A portion of all of us. Right. I think a portion of all of our income at some point comes from China.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
A larger portion goes to China.
Something we're using to produce this podcast right now is 100% Chinese.
Well, I'm sure. This is a MacBook Air, so.
100% China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's get off the Chinese, which is what you should do if you
have a Zoom analogy. I am using my work laptop for this, so I'm going to continue to no comment the rest of that conversation.
I don't think you're supposed to admit that. Well, you're not a government employee.
They're not listening to this.
Oh, that's what you think.
I think the most important. What is something that before we go, because we're about to hit the 55 minute mark on a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about anything.
What is something you want to see from Brian Harsin's spring scrimmages in A-Day? What is is there a concept? Is there a package? Is there a player, what is something you are looking like? Hey, if he does this, I'm excited about the fall.
JJ Peggy's carries. Okay. Not trick plays, just fullback carry.
Oh, sure. The old,
fullback dive at the goal line.
Yeah, I'm with that. We'll see the tight ends getting a little action. I'm sure they will, so we'll see if they actually do exist.
All right, well, that was going to be mine, so I will say Bo Nix completion percentage over 70%. I want to say 75. I'm going to take it easy on him and say 70.
Sure.
I am curious what the wide receiver group looks like. I mean, not only are your top three guys gone, but then I think Capers is out in the spring. Is that right?
Yeah, he's going to be out.
So, it's pretty much all freshmen and sophomores at this point, and then Shedder Jackson.
I want to make an addendum. I'd like to just see us be a little more open, like not act like we're hiding the nuclear codes.
It does seem like there's quite a bit more media availability this spring than in previous years. So,
yeah, I'd like to see that run our offense on A-Day. Yeah. Like, what are we hiding? Maybe year one, Harsin might not want to put all his cards on the table, but I mean, he's been running the same thing for however many years. Like, what's he hiding? What does he have to hide, I should say? So it won't surprise me if we're far more open with what we run.
Here's what I'm looking to see: three things. All three of them are completions greater than 30 yards.
All right.
If I see three of those in A-Day, great. I'm excited about the fall.
I mean, all we got to do there is find Matthew Hill.
Just throw it as far as you can. Catch the rock.
Did he?
No longer on the team, Matthew Hill?
Yeah, I think Matthew Hill in one A-Day had something like six catches for 150 yards.
It was the Bo and Joey competition A-Day.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, if Bo only has we knew looked them. Great in A-Day, right? Am I wrong about that? He's looked pretty good in every A-Day he's been in.
Well, it's only been one because they didn't have it last year.
There's no sacks in A-Day.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to worry about your line getting blown up on A-Day.
There's no sacks in the champagne room of A-Day. All right.
Yep.
See you guys next week.
War Eagle.
Have a War Eagle weekend.